Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our national training call here at Harvard Risk Management Corporation this morning, Monday, April 2nd, 2018. This is Mike Riches hosting the call here from the Dallas, Texas area. Just very excited to welcome all of our agents who are listening to this call live, as well as all of you who are listening to this call on playback. We have got a phenomenal call lined up for you, some incredible training this morning. We do have some important announcements, and we want to congratulate all of those who closed out the month of March in such a big way. I think a lot of us were just really excited that we were getting checks, those of us who are paid daily getting checks kind of over the weekend. That typically doesn't happen. You only get checks from Legal Shield Monday through Friday, but at the end of the month being on Saturday, they were cutting checks on Saturday as well, which was pretty darn cool. I want to congratulate all of those who took advantage of the promotions that were being run in March, that were qualifying for Performance Club, qualifying for Executive Director, qualifying for Senior Director. There was a lot happening in March, and it was a big production month. To recognize, on that note, our top producers and top recruiters for the month of March, I want to take the call directly up to our founder and CEO, Mr. Mark Riches, who's joining the call from Cookeville, Tennessee. Mark, I know it was an exciting kind of close to the month there over the holiday weekend, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And then, again, thank you for recognizing our top producers and top recruiters.
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. And just, again, I want to echo what Mike said. Congratulations to all those that FastStart qualified, took advantage of the ATM promotion. Haven't seen that promotion in several years, so it was really a great one to have. And a lot of new managers on the team, and we're recognizing those on the Facebook page. And then that Drive to Director, which we'll talk about this morning, some took advantage of that as well and moved to that director level. Well, our business all starts with recruiting. Everyone on this call was recruited by someone. Someone once said, well, I don't really like recruiting. Well, I'm glad your sponsor did. So it's good to have recruiters, and we had 22 double-digit recruiters. We've listed the top 20 recruiters on our Harvard Benefits Recognition website, so check that out. Here's the top 10. Bruce Lazarus from California with 16 new recruits for the month. Charlotte Halverson from Georgia. Great job, Charlotte. 17 new agents recruited last month. Brenda Bassani. Bassanet, I think. 17 new agents for the month. Mary Odom from Maine, way up in Maine, 17 new agents for the month. Patty Burgess from Tennessee, 22 new agents for the month. Susan Pellegrinetti from Tennessee as well, with 22 new agents for the month of March. Mariana Mabay from Maryland with 29 new agents. Carita Yeager, I think it is, from Virginia, with 32, that's more than one a day. She recruited more than one agent every day for the month. Great job to you, Carita. And Thomas Yanner from California, 52 new agents recruited last month. Great job, Thomas, number two position. And number one, Janice Steeding from Idaho recruited 60 new agents, about two per day, for the month of March. She's very serious on that platinum for life promotion and hitting executive director, and she's on her way when she's recruiting that many agents a month. And she's getting them involved in the business and getting them through the training. And that's, of course, the key when you're recruiting folks, to bring them in and get them through the process, get them trained and promoted and paid. Here's the top producers, and we had just an amazing number of top producers last month. It was a great production month. Let's start with number 10, Mr. Barry Hansen from North Dakota. We heard him on the call last week. Barry, congratulations to you for being in the top 10 recruiter or producers last month. Evan Brooks from South Carolina in at number 9. Miss Renee McKnight from Oklahoma, congratulations to you, Renee. Joseph Haglin from North Carolina, congratulations to you, Joseph. And then we've got Melanie Knab from Louisiana. Great job to you, Melanie. We've got Stan Polson from Florida in the top six there. And then we've got Jason Millman at number 5. Great job to you, Jason. Josh Samick from California. Man, great job, Josh. I know you're consistently hitting that ED level. Fantastic job on that. Mr. Dave Paperno from California. 19,000 personal sales. Very shortly, he'll hit 20,000 personal memberships, and he's still in the top three producers for the company. Great job to you, Mr. Paperno. Mr. Scott Brooks, who we'll be hearing from this morning from South Carolina. I love seeing all those Brooks names on the – it's almost like competing with the riches there. Great job to you, Scott. Well done. Number two for the entire company. And then number one, 3 months in a row, he's been number one. And 3 months in a row, this power couple have been platinum executive directors, Adam and Alicia Thompson from Kentucky, with, again, over 150 personal membership sales for the month of March. Fantastic job to you, Adam and Alicia. We are super proud of you hitting that platinum 3 months in a row. I know Mr. Jim Tanner, your upline platinum, is super excited and super proud of you as well. And great job to all of those top producers. And we've listed, again, the top 20 producers on our website, so be sure to check those out. Again, congratulations to each one of you for an incredible month of March. We've got some great incentives announced over the weekend for April. I can't wait to see how we take advantage of those. We've got a new trip on the table that we can earn, and I'm looking forward to that. And with that, Mike, I'll turn the call back to you.
Fantastic, Mark. And congratulations again to all of those top recruiters and top producers for the month of March. One great thing about our business is that we can launch into a new month, and really that is regardless of what last month looked like for you. If last month was a fantastic month, congratulations. We're in a new month now, and you get an opportunity to make a new month a fantastic month. If you're looking at last month saying, man, I wish I had done a little bit more, well, guess what? Here's your opportunity. We are in the month of April now, and early in the month, it's only the second day of the month, it's time to get serious and make this your time to shine in Harvard Risk Management. We would absolutely be remiss if we did not wish a happy Easter weekend to all of you. We hope that you enjoyed that celebration and obviously a very important holiday weekend for us. Let's go to I want to cover just a few announcements with you. Some things that were announced yesterday for not only the month of April, but some of these for the entire second quarter. Mark, you mentioned one of them being able to win a new trip. We are in the second quarter now, and one of the great announcements that was made in 2017, Legal Shield said, look, we used to do just one trip a year. Now we're going to give associates an opportunity to win four trips every year, one each quarter, which to me the exciting part about that is you get to start every quarter like we are today focused on winning a new trip. And for the second quarter, that trip is going to be to Nashville, Tennessee, and it's the weekend of the Grant Cardone Conference. So remember, we talked about that last week, that we're going to be coming in a day early. So Thursday we'll have an entire day focused on an HRMC training event. I'm really excited for that. And Legal Shield is saying we're going to pay for three nights hotel. We're going to pay for one round trip airfare. And we're going to give you a $150 Visa gift card, as they've been doing the last couple of trips. And here's how you qualify for that. So let me just take a minute and talk about qualifying for Nashville, because it's one thing to be in Nashville, and I know that we're all buying tickets for that. If you have not yet gotten your tickets, I think we still have some available in the back office. You can go to the events page and buy a ticket for only $49, which to me is a phenomenal deal to go hear Grant Cardone. And you will need a ticket. This promotion does not cover your ticket, so you'll need to get a ticket anyway if you have not done that. But if you're going to go to Nashville, you're going to attend the full-day Harvard training. You're going to attend the two-day Legal Shield training. You're going to hear from Mr. Grant Cardone. You're going to be there and experience that event. I'll tell you, the only thing better than doing that and being there and experiencing that event is having LegalShield cover your costs for going. They're going to, again, cover your hotel. They're going to cover your airfare. So why not take advantage of that? Well, there are four different ways that you can qualify for that promotion. So, and this is the flyer for this is being posted in the recently added docs under Docs on Demand, as are the flyers for all of the April promotions. But all the recent promotions. But let me just cover these with you real quickly. So, do you understand how you're going to get to Nashville, Tennessee, and have that trip paid for by LegalShield? There's four different ways to do it. One, you become a new Power Team ED and Performance Club qualify each month. Two, you break a new Power Team ED and Performance Club qualify each month. So those two, that's for someone who is ED qualifying for 3 months in a row for their first time. That's a new Power Team ED. So, for example, if you ED qualified for April, May, and June, and you'd never done that before for 3 months in a row, that would win you the trip to Nashville, Tennessee. If you just qualified in March and you qualify in April and May, you know, 3 months in a row, if those 3 months in a row occur during the second quarter, then as long as you're PC qualifying every month, then you're good to go. The trip is yours. There are two other ways. One is called the Builders category, and the other is called the Producers category. This is very similar to the Jamaica trip that was that we were winning in the first quarter. The Builders category is, in fact, exactly the same. You got to have 9 LegalShield recruits. This is over the entire quarter. 9 LegalShield recruits. 3 of those recruits have to fast start qualify, and 1 of those has to get to manager, and boom, you won the trip. So 931, just like it was for Jamaica, 931 to get to Nashville. The producers category is 3,200 total premium points, and let's see. Yeah, no group opening requirement on this one. So to go to Jamaica, part of that 3,200 points was you had to go open 2 new groups. There's not a requirement for doing that. However, you do get 150 points for each new group open. So that's something that you can set your sights on. 3,200 premium points might sound like a lot. It's really not, especially if you're selling a $38.90 plan in the second quarter. That's 39 points for every membership that you write. So anyway, those are the four ways that you can qualify for that Nashville trip. I'm really looking forward to it. To me, the easiest way to get to Nashville is 931. That's just my personal opinion, 931, 9 LegalShield Associates. Because if you're recruiting, that's only 3 LegalShield Associates a month. So it's not like that. Anything, I mean, that's not going to get you on the top recruiters list to recruit 3 LegalShield Associates a month. You've got to get, you know, of those 9, 3 of them, a third, have to get Fast Start qualified, which I hope that your goal would be higher than that, and then only one has to get to manager. And you're there. You're in Nashville as long as you Performance Club qualify each month. And, of course, retention, LegalShield Advantage membership, all of those still have to be met. But to me, that's the easiest way. The best way to qualify for many of you would be to executive director qualify every month. And if you've never done that 3 months in a row, doing that in April, May, and June is going to win you that trip. And more importantly than winning you the trip, although I think the trip is going to be a great byproduct of that, you get the $5,000 bonus for doing that. You start on that ED for life momentum that will eventually get you over the first year of executive director qualifying. Eventually that brings in $15,000 in bonuses for EDing. They call it ED for life. To me, I mean, that's the best way. And that's where I would hope that all of you have your sights set on. That ought to be everyone's goal. And then, you know, of course, 931, the producers categories, those are other ways to win that trip. Another great announcement, they released the details for the Platinum for Life promotion. That was one that they announced in Oklahoma. everyone was very excited about. They've never paid out a seven-figure bonus before, but they are going to now. And it's not just a seven-figure bonus. Over those 5 years of qualifying for Platinum, the bonus is almost $1.5 million. It's $1,495,000. We'll get into the details of that more on our Thursday night call this coming Thursday. But to me, that's something that everybody ought to be focused on, everybody ought to be excited for. And it begins, as we've stressed so many times, with smaller steps, like executive director qualifying every month. And we want to recognize one of our newest executive directors. You heard his name during the top producers there, and we're very excited to have him joining us. To introduce him, we want to go to the state of South Carolina, where we've got Scott Brooks standing by. Scott, I know you're very proud of Jason and have been working with him personally. We'd love for you to introduce him, and then we'd love to hear from Jason Millman as well.
Absolutely, and thank you, Mike, for turning the call over to me, and welcome everybody. What a great day it is. What a great weekend we just finished, and what a great month we just wrapped up. Very, very exciting times in the company, always giving us new incentives, new promotions. If you've never heard me say this before, I built a very large part of my career on chasing after those incentives. And that's what they're designed to do, to be short-term goals, monthly goals, quarterly goals, chase after those and build your business using all the different bonuses, incentives. But today, I am especially happy to be with all of you because every so often, someone comes along and joins our team and joins our mission, and they really seem to stand out from the crowd. We heard about all the recognition this morning. These are all people who stand out from the crowd, and we congratulate all of them. But for the past several months, I have had the pleasure of working with and field training a gentleman out of Columbia, South Carolina area, who is a incredible man. He is a fast learner. He is a hard worker. And today we're celebrating his hard work on our call and his accomplishment of hitting one of the highest levels of achievement in our business as a brand new executive director. So I, of course, am very proud today to congratulate him and welcome him to our call, Mr. Jason Millman, as our newest executive director. Jason, the call is yours.
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. And good morning to everybody. I really appreciate the opportunity and the invitation to come on board and speak to everybody this morning after Easter. I live in South Carolina with my wife and my two kids. And prior to coming on board with Harvard Risk Management, I had been working for a company for 15 years. Opening up different businesses. And when I say opened up different businesses, I would travel all over the Carolinas. I would find a piece of real estate that would make for a good storefront, negotiate the purchase price for the real estate, buy it, and then put the storefront on there, recruit the new people and bring them in, train them, teach them, hire managers and teach them, and then I would go off and do it all over again. And over the course of the last 15 years, I had moved my wife and my family at least 8 times, developing and building a business all over the Carolinas. And a business that I thought was mine, it very much felt like mine because I created it and I built it. But I was running it for somebody else. And over the summer, I received a phone call, as did a number of people that day, saying that there were going to be some layoffs. And I was one of the people that was being laid off. So after 15 years of building this business, it had kind of been taken away from me. And after that happened, you know, I knew that I never wanted to be in a situation again where everything that I built didn't belong to me and where I was out working for someone else's dreams instead of working for my own. And so, like most people, I had been looking through the classifieds and job postings on all the different websites that was out there, and I could not find a single thing that really appealed to me that I wanted to do. And my wife and I over the years had always had discussions about what I would do if I no longer worked for, you know, the previous company that I worked for. And her, along with many of my friends, said they could never see me going and working for somebody else. I would have to go and start my own business. And when I lost my job, a lot of people thought that I would probably be in a situation where I would go and open up my own business. But I knew from running these businesses that you're also a slave to that business. If you go and you open up a store or open up a business of some kind, then you've always got to be there. So I wanted the time freedom as much as I wanted the financial freedom of running my own business. And so one day, just in a moment of frustration, I was kind of closing out all the tabs that I had open on my iPad with all the different job postings that were out there. And I came across an ad that had been posted by Scott Brooks. And it was an ad for agents to come on board and work specifically in the small biz arena, selling the Legal Shield and Fran Tarkenton small biz products. And I reached out to Scott and asked for some more information and got a video that I was able to watch and see. And after learning about the small biz products, they really resonated with me. Having been someone that ran businesses, I knew that every single person that runs a business or owns a business needs to at least know that this service exists. And so it wasn't long after that I reached out to Scott for an interview, and we sat down and we started talking. We sat down over the phone, I suppose, and we started talking about Harvard Risk Management and about some of his success that he's had and some of the opportunity that's out there. And at one point he asked me, Jason, what is it exactly that you want to do? And I said, Scott, all that I really want to do is I want to build things and I want to make a difference in people's lives. And that's all that I've ever wanted to do. And at that point, Scott said, well, then I think we might just be a pretty good fit. So it wasn't long after that I was recruited to come on board with Harvard Risk. I went through all of the training and Fast Start qualified and realized that there was so much opportunity, not just in the small biz arena, but in that group benefits area as well. And so I started following the training that was provided, and I immediately started working my warm market. And this wasn't something that initially I was comfortable doing. I'm a lot more comfortable going up and talking to a stranger and trying to tell them about a product or a service than I am, you know, someone that's a friend or a family member. Because oftentimes I feel like they might feel like they're compelled to have to buy something from me because we're friends or we're family. And then once I embraced a completely different mindset on that, that Scott was able to relay to me. And he said, you know, think of it more as if you're going in and you're saying, hey, this is what I'm doing now. And I really want you to know about it, because if there's someone out there that you think might be able to utilize these services, then, you know, you could point them in my direction. And then other people that were in my warm market that I could go to that had run professional businesses and were professional people, I was reaching out to them and I was saying, look, you know, Tom, I want to sit down and I want to talk to you. I want to tell you about what I'm doing. And because I value your opinion and I respect you as a business owner, and I'd like for you to take a listen to this new endeavor that I've come across here, and I want to get your opinion on it because I value it very much. And what I found oftentimes is that those people, if they didn't buy the product, then oftentimes they would steer me in a direction of someone that they knew that could most definitely use that product, or their employees could use that product. And as I was taking on this new endeavor, there was no question in my mind that I could and that I would be successful doing this. And as I would go and talk to my friends, and I would talk to friends of mine that owned businesses and that were successful professionals, and their response to me was, Jason, we know that you are going to be great at this. And then I noticed that as I talked to other friends of mine that weren't as successful professionally and didn't run their own businesses, they would say, Jason, that's great. And if it doesn't work out, then you can always go back to whatever. But I knew that there was no way I was going back to what I was doing, that I was going to make this work. And once I made that decision, that's when I immediately started to see success in this business. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy thing to do in the least bit, but it wasn't the most difficult thing that I've ever done before either. So there was no question in my mind that I would be successful and I would be able to go about doing this. And as reaching out through my warm market, I've got to tell you that most of my sales to reach executive director, over 90% of them came from working the warm market that I had and reaching out to those people that I knew and then looking for referrals from them. And over 90% of those sales reaching the executive director came from that area. As a matter of fact, the last sale that I put in to put me through the top for executive director was one from the first conversation that I had with someone 5 months ago when I first got into this business back in September. And it's funny that a seed that I planted way back then turned into something that put me over the top for that executive director mark. So if I have any advice for anybody, it would be to dive into the training, build your toolbox, and invest in yourselves. Go and start tackling the small biz training. Go after that advanced group training. There's so much that you have access to as far as personal development. And my dad always told me that leaders are readers, you know, and I've heard people say that all the best things in life are on the top shelf, and you get to reach those by standing on the books that you've read. And so there's so much that you have access to there in your back office there of your Harvard Risk Management, where for, as far as personal development and training goes. And so I guess if I had one other thing to say, it would be this. The executive directors that I've talked to that are with Harvard Risk Management, none of them tried to reinvent the wheel. They all knew that the way that you get to executive director level is by following the model that they've put together. The training absolutely works. So that would be my advice to everybody is believe in yourself, know that you can do this, and don't try to reinvent the wheel. Follow the training that the Harvard Risk Management has put together for you. It does a fantastic job preparing you to go out and do this. If everyone could just get the big idea of Harvard Risk Management, then I think that all else would just follow. And that's all that I have, and I want to thank everybody for this opportunity, and I look forward to seeing all of you in Nashville. Thank you.
Wow, Jason, thank you very, very much for sharing that, and thank you to Mr. Scott Brooks as well. Congratulations to both of you. And, Jason, we're sure proud to see you qualifying for executive director, and not only in the month of March, but already have enough production to qualify for the month of April as well. And to me, that is just exciting as can be. And something that we really desire for all of our agents, you know, to be able to achieve that kind of success. And certainly, as you said very well, the system is there. The training is there. The education is there. The opportunity is there. The market is certainly there. And it just is about taking advantage of it. And I love how you talked about personal development and everything is on the top shelf and you got to stand on the books you've read. To be able to reach it. I love that concept and that visual and could not agree more with you. Congratulations again to you and to all of our agents who are out there achieving new levels of success. One final announcement that I want to make, and then we're going to get to our keynote speaker this morning. The Drive to Director promotion was continued for the month of April, and that's huge. You can find the information on that in the recently added docs under Docs on Demand. Just to give you an example, this month you can hit director by getting 85 personal sales instead of 100, and there are some of you that are close to that, you know, that are knocking on the door, and you might as well get that director commission on those 15 additional sales. You might as well grab that while it's there this month. So check those details out. Again, I hope that you have a goal for advancing. I hope that as you look at those, at where you're at right now, the question ought to always be, how do I get to the next level? And what is my goal for achieving the next level? And then, to me, the question is always executive director as well. What is my goal for executive director? Because if I'm a manager, I want to get to senior manager, but that's not my ultimate goal. I really need to get to executive director. That's the gateway to much bigger things. That's when you're earning the kind of income that is substantial, that you can have a good lifestyle on, and that's the doorway to be able to get to Platinum Executive Director as well and take advantage of these massive bonuses that Legal Shield has put on the table. I am so excited for our keynote speaker this morning, Mr. Chris Evans, our National Marketing Director, who brings well over a decade of experience in marketing the Legal Shield and ID Shield products, and has had just substantial success in doing that, both with individuals, and Mr. Evans is certainly no stranger to signing up friends, family, people that he knows. I can tell you just from knowing him that he can sleep well tonight knowing that the people that he knows, now maybe not everyone he's ever talked to has signed up for membership, but people that he knows, they know what he does, and they know that that he offers these types of solutions, and he can feel good because he's addressed that with them. He's presented these products to them. And then certainly in the employee benefits market as well as the small business market, Mr. Evans has had exceptional success in taking these plans and solutions into the marketplace and is consistently one of our top producers. He's absolutely one of our top trainers, and we always enjoy listening to him. And so with that, Mr. Evans, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we will turn the call over to you, my friend.
Hey, well, I appreciate that introduction, Mike. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk about friends and family knowing what you do. You know, this was a holiday weekend and an opportunity. Lots of families got together, and, you know, the topic always comes up of somebody that's having a legal issue or somebody that's dealing with something as it pertains to identity theft, or an article comes up or people are talking about an article or a news story on a data breach. And it just gives you an opportunity to talk about it and share. And I think that there's a confusion. And when we talk about what we do, that we feel like we have to give a sales pitch. And that's not the case. Now, this isn't my training here this morning, but the fact that you hit on that, I just wanted to mention that to people that, you know, you don't have to be weird with the people that you know. I can't tell you how many memberships I've sold to people that I know that have come back to me at a later time because I didn't give them a sales pitch in the middle of the family dinner. You know, you just have to let people know what you do, and if you don't make it weird, I promise you that when they are in need of that service, they will come back to you. But on the flip side, because they are friends and family, you are going to have people that will never purchase the membership from you, regardless of how much they need it. And I have to deal with those people, too, at every family get-together as they talk about their legal problems and their issues that they're dealing with. But again, because you're family, they will not purchase from you, and that's okay, too. So don't let that get you down. But let's jump into the training this morning. This is a great time of year. You know, we're coming out of the Easter weekend. I love, it's one of my favorite times, just kind of to reflect, and then we're going right into tonight the NCAA championship game, Villanova and Michigan. Love college basketball and being able to follow along with these teams. And as we go in, you know, there's lots of stories on these teams, and they go and they interview coaches and players and things like that. And I was watching a little segment, and they had on there the legendary coach, Bobby Knight. And they were him in this interview, and one of the things that he said kind of stood out to me. You know, he was talking about the will to win and saying, you know, oh, these teams have the will to win, and this team here, you know, they've got the will to win. And he said the key is not the will to win. He said everybody has that. He said it's the will to prepare to win that is important. You know, and this coming from, again, a legendary coach, I think he knows a thing or two about the value of preparation. You see, adversity is the heat of competition, or adversity in the heat of competition is inevitable. But it's the ones who come prepared for that adversity that are the ones that end up succeeding. You know, preparation, as we know, takes a lot of time. You know, we've got to practice. And when you look at basketball players, that's what they do. It really comes down to some basic fundamentals, you know, dribbling the ball, passing the ball, shooting the ball, blocking the ball. You know, those are all basic, simple things, but it takes time doing those over and over and over. But it's that extra time that means the difference between success and failure. And that doesn't just apply to basketball. That applies to anything. You know, it's the smallest of plays that determine the outcome in the biggest of games. And it's those small, fundamental, basic things that we have to improve on and practice that are going to make the difference in the biggest of our presentations. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, maybe just some small things that we need to make sure that we're doing, that we're implementing. And these are things that I've picked up, you know, over the years as I've gone out, things that I've done that didn't work, things that I've done that did work, things that other people told me I needed to do and I didn't do and impacted me in a negative way, things that people said, hey, I've done this and it was successful, and I implied those and it impacted me in a positive way.
So there was a lot of things that I did, trial, error, ups and downs, negatives, you know, got the bumps, the bruises, that I've implemented that came to a spot in my presentation that clicked, that worked for me. It was like the combination to that lock. You know, we listened to Jack Canfield at this most recent Legal Shield convention, and he talked about that. He said, you know, one of the fundamental things about a lock is that once you enter the right combination, it has to open. And it's those numbers that we have to get, those little combinations, to make sure our lock opens and we get that same success. So here's the thing. So we're going to talk about some small, simple things that you can apply into your business. And as I mentioned, I've copied a lot of these. So if you're listening and you say, you know, hey, I've heard that before. He copied somebody else. Well, understand that in this business, it's okay to be a copycat, just as long as you're copying the right cat. And I've had the opportunity to copy some of the best cats in this business, and so I'm proud to implement some of their training and some of their teachings into this as well. But as in anything, we're going to talk about beginning with the end in mind. And we're going to talk about an enrollment. We're going to talk about presenting this membership. We're going to talk about selling this membership. And I say selling in quotes because we talk about, you know, we don't sell this, we just present this. We give them an opportunity to buy. And that's an important attitude to have, because as you go into any sales situation, you have to understand this key fact. People love to buy, but they hate to be sold. And it took me a while to pick up on that concept. But again, people love to buy, but they hate to be sold. And so when you go in, I used to focus so much on trying to sell the membership that I was losing membership sales. But again, once you kind of shift that mindset and get to a spot where you're not trying to sell them on anything, but you're merely talking with them, sharing the information, getting them to a position where they know, like, and trust you, which we're going to talk about here in just a second, you know, then you're going to see people start to purchase from you rather than you selling to them. So beginning with that end in mind, first thing you've got to do is meet with that decision maker. Now, I'm not going to go into a training on prospecting and methods of prospecting. We've got some great training in the back office on really everything that I'm going to be talking about. So go, if you haven't gone through that initial training yet on prospecting and finding presentations and how do you find people, again, there's different ways. There's warm market, there's cold market, there's, you know, working conferences, there's working local groups, so many different ways to prospect, you know, go through the trainings and get that information. But, you know, when you get that meeting with that HR director, the number one rule of any presentation that you do, whether it's a presentation to a group or whether it's a presentation to an individual HR director, number one rule, know your audience. So I always like to know a little bit about the person that I'm going in to meet with. Very quickly, you know, you can take all of 2 minutes. Again, this is not a 8-hour FBI interrogation, you know, research paper that you're going to do on the individual. I just want to know a couple little key notes about the individual that I'm going to speak with. The first thing that I want to find out is this person that I'm going to speak with the actual decision maker? Because I've gone on a lot of decision maker meetings that after I met with them, discovered that they were not the actual decision maker. They were not the person that I needed to meet with. So I like to find that information out. Go quickly to LinkedIn. A lot of times it'll have their position on there, and you can tell if they are the type of person sometimes. Now, not always will you be able to determine that. So when speaking with them on the phone, and again, I'm doing this research after I've gotten on the phone with them. You know, this isn't something that you're going to say, okay, I want to call this person, and then you go spend 5 minutes before you call them. You know, once you've gotten the appointment with that individual, do a little research. But one of the things that I like to do when setting the appointment with them over that phone is I will ask them if they're a decision maker. And I don't just come out and say, are you the decision maker? But once we've got that appointment that we're scheduling, I'll just say, now, is there anybody else involved in making the decisions that you would like to have there with us? Because in that way, if they say, no, I'm the only person that makes the decisions on that, then you're good in that situation. But if they say, well, so-and-so and so-and-so makes the decision, I'm going to encourage them to be involved with that meeting as well. And very easily you can just say, you know, that way you don't have to take everything that I say and go and present it again. Can we get them in that meeting as well? If it's an opportunity where you can go to a DM meeting in a casual setting, meeting out of their office, I find those to be much more effective. You know, is it somebody that you could take to lunch? Is it somebody that, you know, you could spend some time at the Starbucks, you know? If it's a bigger account that you're trying to get into and you've talked with someone, you know, and you're a golfer, can you take them out to play golf? You know, those are kind of things that you want to do to, again, break down those walls when you're dealing with that individual. Again, this isn't go out and take your – this is not every situation are you going to take an HR director to lunch. You know, you can spend a lot of money giving free lunches. There could get a reputation going around that, you know, hey, if you want the free lunch, call the Harvard agent. That's not what it's about. But utilizing those tools in the proper environment – are those small things that are going to make a big difference. So once you know that audience and once you've got that presentation with that HR director and you're sitting down, let them talk. So many times we go in, and again, this is something that I had to learn the hard way, and we tend to talk, trying to sell them on this benefit. Understand this simple rule. The longer you talk, the less likely you are to get that group. But the more they talk, the more likely you are to open that group. So let them talk. You know, ask questions. Let them speak. Let them talk about, you know, their employees. Let them talk about, you know, things are going. And when you're listening to them talk, so many times people will listen with they're listening as they prepare to respond, rather than listening to try to understand. I think that we need to spend more time listening to understand than we are listening to respond. Meaning, okay, when they're done talking, I'm just going to, you know, I've got to tell them this or I've got to tell them that. No, listen to what it is that they're saying. Listen to the issues that they have. Listen to them talk about their employees, because you're getting to know their employees. Because as they talk about, you know, oh, well, we had this employee who dealt with this legal issue, or we had this employee who filed their income taxes and found out that they had already filed their income taxes. Those are all part of knowing your audience. This HR, this decision maker meeting, is part of your overall presentation. Presentations are key in this business. You know, people sometimes will say, well, why is it so important to be able to give a good presentation? Understand the key here is that this is a business. You know, as a business, presentation skills are important because businesses exist to make a profit, and a bad presentation equals no profit. Everything that you do is part of your presentation. You're preparing for your preparation. You know, it's that will to prepare to succeed. So as you're listening to an HR director, make notes about the things that they're saying. Make notes about what they're telling you about their company, about their employees, about the work environment, those type of things, all things that are going to help you as you get to that presentation. Now, once you've scheduled your presentation, and again, not doing a training right now on how to do that presentation or how to get that presentation. It's in the back office training, and different scenarios are going to call for different situations about being flexible. But once you've got that presentation scheduled, then you're going to come back and knowing your audience, beginning with that end in mind, you're going to transition into that in several different ways. You know, you may have scheduled to just come back and do a benefit presentation. You may have scheduled to come back and do a lunch and learn presentation. You may have scheduled to come back and do, you know, a safety meeting that you're doing with that company. That goes back to that meeting with that HR director and what's going to work best for them. One of the things that you can do is kind of boost their ego and say, you know, hey, you're the expert here. what do you feel is the best way to get all of your employees together so that we can make sure that all of your employees receive the information? You know, again, we're boosting their ego, letting them make that decision, and they'll tell you, well, we've got a staff meeting coming up. Well, we've got, you know, this. One of the things that I do is I say, you know, because when we're doing an identity theft workshop, I say, because in this workshop we talk about protecting the company's information, one of the things that companies will have us do is come in and do part of their safety day training. And what you're doing there is you're getting a mandatory audience, you know, just by throwing out that option. And when you come in and you're talking about identity theft, make sure you're talking about things they can do to protect that company's information so they can classify that. I've done quite a few safety day trainings, and they love it because they're always looking for new speakers. They're looking for new topics. They're looking for things to engage their employees because these safety day trainings are mandatory. They're required for them to come to. And so for them, it's great. So have that in your wheelhouse. So again, it could be that, could be the lunch and learn that you're talking about, identity theft workshop that you're talking about coming back to do for them. And I love the workshop approach. Because, again, you can get mandatory meetings, and you need to make sure that you set it up as mandatory. And typically the way that you do that is you talk about how you're going to cover protecting the company's information. And I tell the employees that's why companies require all of their employees to attend that, because we're talking about, you know, protecting the company's information with all of the data breaches that are going on. You know, a data breach isn't necessarily a cyber criminal hacking into your computer system. You know, as you're aware, again, kind of boosting their ego a little bit, as you're aware from the trainings that you've been to, identity theft is not just an IT problem, it's an HR problem. And a data breach could be as simple as somebody clicking on an email link that they probably shouldn't have, throwing some things out in the trash that probably should have been shredded. You know, some of those things that we're going to cover with your employees in this training. So, again, building up that idea of them getting all of their employees and making sure all of their employees are in there. One of the things that I took away from Bill Stovall when he was talking about setting up that meeting and getting that mandatory thing is he said at the end, once he was done with everything, he threw out this quick little scenario. He said, you know, we had a company that we went in and we presented to, and one of the employees had an issue later on, and they came running back into the HR office and said, you know, hey, that identity theft, that legal identity theft thing that was presented, you did sign me up for that, right? And it kind of caused a problem. And then he said, you know, so now what they do is they have all the employees sign something that says they took the plan or didn't take the plan, and then we take those forms and we turn that in to HR. You do want us to do something like that so that you guys have that as well, don't you? And he said they always say yes. And so then kind of his close there is, so you're going to make sure that everyone attends this training, especially those that aren't interested. Because you always get that, you know, oh, I don't want that, I don't need that, and if they're not required to come. So that kind of threw it on them and making sure that those that aren't interested made it out to that presentation. One of the other questions that I like to ask, and I know I moved on from the DM meeting, but I realized quickly that there were some things that I kind of missed there, but one of the questions that I like to ask in that DM meeting, if we're doing a lunch and learn and I'm going to provide the lunch in, I'll ask them if there are any dietary restrictions. Now, that seems like a silly question, but I learned this in that typically there's somebody there who's vegan or vegetarian or, you know, gluten-free, and if I'm doing all pizzas and things like that, it's probably not a big deal because they're used to it, you know. But, again, those smallest things make the biggest difference. Think about that one individual who always misses out on the company lunches or lunch and learns when pizzas are brought in. If you brought in something that was gluten-free, or, you know, if you've got vegetarians there, that you're not bringing in all meat lovers' pizzas on that. You know, makes those differences for those individuals. I asked that question one time, and we actually had a group that about 20 or 30 of them were a certain religion and had dietary restrictions through that. and made sure to, when we did the luncheon, to provide for those individuals, and had a great response of them because it showed that we care. You know, when you go in and you talk to the employees, understand this. People will only buy from you, and we know that people love to buy, hate to be sold, love to buy, but people will only buy from those people that they know, that they like, and that they trust. And understand, before you've walked in there, they don't know you, they don't trust you, and they certainly don't like you if they think that you're there to sell them something. So what you have is your communication. What you have is the way that you treat others. What you have is the lunch that you bring in. What you have is the cookie tray that you picked up from Sam's on the way to that. What you have is arriving early so that you can go in and shake people's hands, look them in the eye, talk to them, make jokes with them. You know, humor is a huge part of breaking down those walls, because once they start to know you, or once they start to like you, then they want to get to know you. And as they know you and they like you, the more you speak, the more they will trust you, because you become across, or you come across as a more trustworthy person. So again, humor, go in, joke around with them. But there's a danger in that as well. And there's a simple concept that when you talk with someone, there's a pattern of communication, meaning first, you have to be passionate about what you're talking about, because everything starts from your heart. Do you believe what you're saying to these individuals? Do you believe what you're talking about? So it goes from your heart to your head, because you've got a passion about something, but then your head has to translate that, and you have to present it in a way that's logical. You have to present it in a way that is simple. The power of simplicity. If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. Albert Einstein said that. So understand that a confused mind says nothing. So you have to be clear in the way that you present things. So it goes from your heart to your head to your mouth, because then you speak it. Now, typically, people would say that once it leaves your mouth, it goes to their ears. But there's this cloud in between that I like to call circumstance. And that's where you have to be mindful of your environment. You have to be mindful of the people that you're talking with. For example, a joke might go over great at a wedding. Try that same joke at a funeral, and it may not be as funny. When you pull up into the parking lot and 95% of the cars have NRA stickers on the back of them, you know, there are certain jokes that you may or may not make in that room. So, again, it's all about circumstances. It's about knowing your audience. And then it goes through that circumstance to their ears. How are they perceiving that information? Then it's going to go from their ear to their heart. So heart to head to mouth, to circumstance to ears, to their head, back to their heart. So that's a simple concept, and you have to understand that as you present. You know, when you present this membership and you jump in and you start doing that presentation, are you sharing with them stories? We hear it all the time. Facts tell, but stories sell. You have to share stories. You have to share experiences, and those experiences need to be relevant to those individuals. If I'm talking to a group of, you know, young 20 oil drillers, it's probably not going to be the same story that I'm going to share to a bunch of, you know, 60-year-old bankers that I might be presenting to. You know, so different stories for different individuals, and it's important that you have those stories. Now, you may say, well, I haven't used my membership that much. You know, first thing I would encourage you to do, use your membership, gain your own experience. But number two, rely on the experiences of others as well. You know, I have different stories that I will share in different presentations and different scenarios that will focus on those individuals. You know, if I go in and I talk to a group of individuals and I share a story about, you know, a police officer and how he did this and how he did that against this person, I'm not going to share a story about police officers, a negative story about, you know, a police officer in a group of police officers. You know, I'm not going to share a story about a school system that treated a child wrongly in a school system. You know, I'm going to share the story that's going to pretty relevant to those individuals. And so we're excited to announce, because people say, well, where do I get these stories? That we are going to start on this call every week having a segment where someone is going to share a membership story. Now, in order for that to work, we are going to need the assistance of all of our agents. So we would encourage you, when you have a membership story, to share that with us and share that on the call. You can email support@harvardbenefits.com. So again, email support@harvardbenefits.com for our management team. If you've got someone that you know of that has a great membership testimonial, membership story, you know, talk with them. See if they'd be willing to share that on the call. And again, by listening in on these calls every single week, you're going to hear those membership stories. And I promise you, it's going to do a couple of things. Number one, it's going to increase your belief. It's going to encourage you to utilize your membership in ways that you may have not even thought about using the membership. You know, you may be dealing with an issue that you hear somebody else talking about and didn't even think about calling the law firm or didn't even think about that being an identity theft issue. So by listening on this call every single week, you're going to get those experiences. You're going to hear those. But then again, we want you to share those stories. And this is a great format for you to share that story with us, and then take that as you practice sharing that story and go out and share that in your presentation, whether it's individual or group. I can promise you this, the best salespeople that I know are people that are great at sharing those stories. You know, again, everybody, our facts tell, stories sell, and everybody loves to buy something, but not when they're being sold. And when you're telling somebody a story, sharing an experience with somebody, that's the best way to do that in my present or my opinion. So, so learn how to share membership stories. Once you've got the membership stories down, you're going to go through, you're going to share those membership experiences that you have. And as you share those membership experiences, you're going to increase your belief. You're going to increase their belief. They're going to start to know you. They're going to start to like you. They're going to start to trust you. And I promise that you will see a much higher participation in your membership sales at the end of the program. Now, at the end of your presentation, you will pick up membership applications. Now, that's the part where a lot of people get hung up. They don't really know what to do at that point. Well, And going into the presentation with the end in mind, I tell them at the very beginning of that presentation that at the end we're going to go ahead and turn in our applications. That way, whoever the HR director there is, Judy or John or whomever, will say that way we can get all of these in, and then that way they're not trickling in to Judy or John over the next couple of weeks. So we do expect you to go ahead and turn in your applications today. I like to turn the intangible into the tangible. What do I mean by that? Well, when you sit down and you do a presentation, when you stand in front of a room and do a presentation, at the end, they're going to fill out an application. They're going to give you all of their information, and you're not going to give them anything if you don't have something that's tangible. So I like to go in with a temporary membership packet. And I've got one of the Legal Shield or ID Shield folders, depending on what you're presenting first. We'll have all the information in there. I will have the sheets on how to activate the plan, the member perk sheet. We'll have the will questionnaires, have all that, and it's something that I can give to them as they turn in their membership. It turns it into a tangible product, something they can touch, they can hold, they can feel, and do that. I also love to do a giveaway. Now, one of the things that I know some people do, you know, big screen TVs that they'll give away, depending on the size of the group. I've certainly done those. One of my favorite things to give away is a Kindle Fire. Because they'll go on sale all the time. It's the number one selling tablet, and this isn't a plug for them. I don't make any commissions off of them, but I always will go into an enrollment because I'll have a couple of those in there in my bag. They're small. I don't have to pull them out until I know that I can use those at the right time. But at the end, we'll give away a Kindle Fire. Sometimes I'll give away two Kindle Fires. If I'm getting a high participation in there, you know, and I find that adding a second one in there might help, Or if you're doing a presentation where everybody that attends gets the opportunity to win a Kindle Fire, I'll do that, and then I'll pull out a second one and say, for those of you that are enrolling, they sent me a second Kindle Fire for you. And, again, sometimes you can get those for $30 online, but people love them. They go crazy for them. So those are just some things that that I do at the close of the presentation. And then finally, as you wrap up, one of the little things that you want to do is make sure that you are following up with that HR director. Send them a thank you gift. Send them something. You know, it's not a customer service department that you're operating. It's a thank you department. You know, thank that individual for allowing you the opportunity to come in and work with them. You know, this is now a business partner, and if you treat them as such, your memberships don't enroll there. See, sometimes people will go in and say, oh, man, you got whatever account. You know, how much money have you made off of that group? And the answer is, I don't know yet. I'm still making money off of that group. You know, I have groups that will send me member applications. Every time that there's a data breach, I'll send out a new flyer to that group for them to distribute to their employees. Those Legal Shield flyers that ID Shield sends out with tips and things, I make sure to send those to all of my groups so that they can get those out to their employees. I let them know, hey, if any of your employees ever need anything, if they need access or need help accessing their membership information, their ID Shield information, have them reach out to me. I'd be willing to help. I want to be a resource for you and your employees. Then you're continuing that relationship, and that's not the way that I used to do it. You know, I used to go in, get the sales, and I'd be done, and I'd move on to the next one. But if you do that, you're leaving money on the table. So, again, you're creating that relationship with them. And we're at the end of time, and so there's you know, lots of other little things that you can do, obviously, and things that you can add in. And that's the importance of being on these calls, getting those nuggets. You know, I wish we had more time to spend on some of these things. But I appreciate the opportunity to be on the call this morning. I'm excited. You know, we're going into the springtime. This is the time where people mentally start to thaw out. This is the time where people mentally are out there. They're engaging in things. They are moving. And I've seen that the springtime is a great kind of rejuvenation time for people. People are more committed to do things. Why spring cleaning is such a big deal. So take advantage of that kind of mental air right now of people that are out there engaging and moving and moving along and making decisions in their lives, and be a part of that. Let people know what you do. Get in front of people. Do presentations and make April, you know, your best month ever. I'm excited, you know, going into this next phase here for the contest period. I'm looking forward to welcoming everybody into Middle Tennessee. You know, the next conference is here in my backyard, and so looking forward to seeing everybody out at that event. So with that, I appreciate it. I'll turn it back to you, Mike.
Well, fantastic, Mr. Evans. Thank you very much for preparing and sharing such an incredible training here this morning. I love so much of what Mr. Evans said. I hope that our agents are out there taking a lot of notes over what this gentleman is sharing, because he's so 100% on track. I love how he talked about when you're in a decision-maker meeting and just the ways to connect. I loved how he said, you know, you've got to stop talking. Sometimes the more you talk in a decision-maker meeting, the less of a chance you have to open that group. The more they talk, the greater of a chance you have to open that group. I could not agree more with that. I love how you shared so many tips on overcoming some of those common, I don't know if they're objections as much as they are just obstacles that we sometimes face in these groups, obstacles like how do we get access to the employees? How do we get people there? You know, how many of us have ever been frustrated when we've had an HR person say, well, you know, we sent it around, but there were a lot of people that were not interested, or, you know, we're not going to force them to come. And I love how Mr. Evans turned that into a positive thing for the company, you know, and just the language that he used there. You want to go back and maybe if you didn't have a chance to write that down, if you couldn't write fast enough, maybe go back and listen to this call on playback to get that language. And I know Bill Stovall, who you mentioned, does a great job in overcoming that as well. And Mr. Evans, as he said this morning, it's not wrong to be a copycat as long as you're copying the right cat. And he's mastered that language that Bill Stovall shared. I thought that was fantastic, as well as overcoming the objection of or again, maybe it's not an objection, maybe it's more of an obstacle, of signing up today, you know, giving them a reason to sign up today. And I just thought his ideas on that were spectacular here this morning. Again, a big thank you, Mr. Evans, to you for preparing and delivering that training so well. And also a big thank you to Mr. Mark Riches, Mr. Scott Brooks, and Mr. Jason Millman for sharing on the call this morning. And a big thank you to each of you for plugging in, taking time out of your schedule to join the call this morning. Again, what a great way to launch the month of April, launch the second quarter. We've got a lot happening right now, and I just want to congratulate each of you for plugging in and being a part of the exciting momentum that we're experiencing here at Harvard Risk Management Corporation. God bless each of you. Thank you again for joining the call, and let's make it a great week.